My boot camp was going to equip me for my future as a very old woman. That was the plan. I chose 12 aspects of my life to work on, but how do you change your behavior? I'm Rachel McAlpine. I'm 79 and I'm talking to you. My boot camp for the bonus years. I gave myself 1 year to learn and rehearse the alien role of being old. I was confused, but I was committed. Month by month, I tackled housing and eating and exercise, finance and hobbies and friends and voice, happiness and brain and mind, identity, and lastly, nervously, the existential bit. Spoiler, the one I failed. Coming to terms with death. That was the plan. You can call it obsessive or silly or selfish, neurotic, excessive. But hey, it was certainly systematic. A spreadsheet gives you a sense of control. And I wanted to still be the boss of myself when I was old by making decisions and having a go, polishing skills that might otherwise slither away. I gave every layer a nudge and a tweak with practical acts and tiny habits that somehow echoed and rippled and rolled into a single category of life. And once begun, love stepped in, and good things happened easily, without a shove. This was my solitary boot camp to prepare for the bonus years that I never expected or desired. Not a battle, not a war. Not a fluffy blue sky dream, not a bullying regime, not a set of affirmations, but a kind of covenant and a bunch of baby steps. This was my year of being old. After all my research, eventually I came up with 12 aspects of life that are associated with good health in old age, and I figured these were the things that I should examine in my own life, and they might need a tweak. The boot camp was going to be my preparation for life as a very old woman. You see? Housing, diet and health care, exercise, finances, hobbies, voice, social life, my brain, my mind, my happiness, my identity, and coming to terms with old age and death. Don't know what you call that. Now, here's a funny thing. As soon as I had compiled that formidable list, so much in it, I immediately felt more in control of my future as a very old person. I hadn't done a thing, but I felt better already about aging. That's very strange, isn't it? But hey, what a long list. Where to begin? I decided to take it all on board, every category. I didn't prioritize. After all, who knew which one would turn out to be the most important? I would devote each month to a different aspect of life, and the order didn't matter. So that was the big picture, 12 aspects of life to work on. That was huge. It was too huge to think about in one lump, actually. But how was I going to do it? What was the rest of the plan? What was I actually going to do? Here's how it worked out. I didn't exactly decide at the beginning. I just half decided. But how? What was the rest of the plan? What was I actually going to do? How was I going to do this? It worked out like this, as a sort of two-step process. First of all, I would audit that aspect of my life, whatever it was. I would kind of review it in isolation from all the others, whether it was exercise or social life, whatever it was. And that audit would show me what I was doing well and what needed changing to prepare for my future. And the second part of it was taking action. I knew that just deciding to change, that's doomed, that's rubbish, never works. I wasn't going to do the affirmations or New Year resolutions. Didn't want to rack up my motivation. I just wanted something practical to do. Well, I'm a fan of Professor B.J. Fogg, who's the founder and director of the Stanford Behavior Design Lab. According to B.J. Fogg, to make real changes in my life, I had three options. Here's what he says, I'm quoting. I've learned that only three things will change your behavior in the long term. Sorry. Option A, have an epiphany. Option B, change your environment. Option C, take baby steps. Well, okay, I'd had an epiphany. That was when I found that I might live to 99. Pow! That one knocked me to the floor. And it did change my behavior because look at me, I was launching into the research and here I was planning my own boot camp. But hey, I couldn't organize another 12 epiphanies, could I? Never mind. I could change my environment to some extent in some places and I could certainly take baby steps. Perfect. That's better. That's doable. One monumental project got subdivided into clear-cut, manageable little jobs. They would be simple and specific and easy. And now I could imagine making progress with a series of little wins because I didn't think the boot camp was an all-or-nothing project. I wasn't going to beat myself up if I failed a few of the little tests. That was too bad. I knew I would pass the course. I would graduate from this boot camp because, after all, I was running it. And when I'd worked that out, I just launched straight into auditing my living conditions and started fixing what needed fixing for the future. Well, more about that later in another episode. I just want to make one more point. It's about the unpredictable, free-flowing benefits of my solitary boot camp. So it looks like I was being hugely methodical with my spreadsheets and all, but that was just, I did have a really clear framework, but I was easy on myself beyond that. It turned out that there was no hierarchy for the 12 aspects I was tackling. I just wrote them down in a certain order and started at the top. And that turned out to be a very good thing because this is what I found. The impact of change in one aspect of my life often flowed into another one and another one. It was kind of a holistic process, the opposite of a vicious circle, a virtuous circle. I could have started anywhere with the least sort of important seeming aspect and still had good results. That's how I see it looking back. You can see how this might happen, can't you? One new habit brings other benefits with a sort of knock-on effect. For example, you might decide to eat more fruit and you land up going to the Sunday market every week, which gives you a walk and some social interaction, all good things. Or another example, if you start on a regular exercise program, that's not just going to affect your muscles and your bones and your cardiovascular system, but it could have an important impact on the way you eat and your mood and your physical balance. And that's what happened. I felt as if I'd invested $2 in this boot camp and got $20,000 back. The payoff was completely unpredictable. The vision of my boot camp project was really broad, frighteningly big. It included everything I could think of. But the steps I took were little butterfly steps, caterpillar steps. And those baby steps, as they accumulated, one and two and three and four, they set off a perfect storm of health and happiness. I'll read the poem again. My boot camp for the bonus years. I gave myself 1 year to learn and rehearse the alien role of being old. I was confused, but I was committed. Month by month, I tackled housing and eating and exercise, finance and hobbies and friends and voice, happiness and brain and mind, identity, and lastly, nervously, the existential bit, spoiler, the one I failed, coming to terms with death. That was the plan. You could call it obsessive or silly or selfish, neurotic, excessive, but hey, it was certainly systematic. A spreadsheet gives you a sense of control. And I wanted to still be the boss of myself when I was old, by making decisions and having a go, polishing skills that might otherwise slither away. I gave every layer a nudge and a tweak with practical acts and tiny habits that somehow echoed and rippled and rolled into a single category of life. Once begun, love stepped in, and good things happened easily, without a shove. This was my solitary boot camp to prepare for the bonus years that I never expected or desired. Not a battle, not a war, not a fluffy blue sky dream, not a bullying regime, not a set of affirmations, but a kind of covenant and a bunch of baby steps. This was my year of being old.